Damashek here. Check out the new episode of the Dave Damashek football program on iTunes and NFL.com/podcast. I, Taylor Maurice Jones, through Greg Rosenthal, and I breaking down which NFL stands to gain the most by winning a Super Bowl ring. We'll tell you.
Yeah. We're back. Drop that beat!
They might shout my name out, cause you bad. Mommy, we can jive. Tune into the R&B show.
Be sure to tune in.
Oh, there it is. Shout out Shy Infinite.
Always.
That song never gets old. Man, you can send me a single.
Hey, listen, this is the R&B podcast. I'm with my man,
Real Mike Rob.
I'm Nate B. I'm back in the building.
Yeah, Nate, welcome back. Everybody has to welcome Nate
back. I appreciate
that. Shoot him some shout outs on Twitter, because I've been working, Nate.
Hey, I know you've been grinding.
Back in the studio.
I've been watching. I'm
just saying, bro.
I had to get laryngoscopy surgery. It's a
spell
form
out
of L.
Endoscopy.
So yeah, I'm back. I still got a little bit of raspiness, but I got about another week before I'm completely healed. But I'm back to work, man. Feels good to be back. I missed the podcast. People been asking.
Yeah,
so,
man.
I'm glad we're back at it.
I had nobody to debate with, dog.
I know, bro. I know, and we about to debate because we
know what I'm saying.
Problems. But you know, I gotta give people what they want, man. Listen, just in case you forgot, this is the favorite podcast, your favorite podcast. This is the best podcast in the business. The sports podcast meets Bad Boy Records.
Take that.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad hey, boy. You make me feel so good. You make me feel. Come on, man.
See, I like where your head's at. Shout out to P. Diddy and the Bad Boy reunion tour going on right now. We'll talk about that soon. But on today's show, we're going to talk about what's been going on. Mike, you've been busy. You've been
busy,
like
dog.
Crazy.
Busy, dude. I had my football camp, man. All of us. I'll get into
that
when
it's time. A
bunch
of guys came out.
Oh, dude. We still miss Nate B. I still miss the R&B. We could have had R&B in the middle of Richmond, Virginia, dog, downtown Broad Street, dog.
Man, that'd have been
you know
awesome.
What I'm saying?
Right, you're right.
Next it's year, all good. Next year, bro. Next year.
We're going to talk about the offseason. You know, what do players do? Like, what do they do? What do we do? We'll get into that. We probably got into some mischievous stuff.
Early in my career. We'll
speak on it.
Yeah, let's get
it. We also got a new segment called Depth Chart Debates, and today we're going to touch on quarterbacks.
Cornerbacks,
not quarterbacks, cornerbacks.
CBs.
CBs, you know, that I used to torch when I played. And then we got an all-new.
I don't know if you ever torched any cornerbacks on my squad, dog. Walt Harris used to give it to you, Sean.
Yeah, come on, man. I went against that dude. And then we got our new segment, or nah. You know, it's something that producer TD came up with. He the genius behind the glass.
Genius behind the glass, but he keeps hitting the DJ. But that's all right, we'll talk about
that. And we might have a special guest, and TD will confirm that information today.
Hopefully.
So we'll let you know if it's going to happen or not. So,
we'll get
to that. But, Mike, give him the PSA, man.
Hold up.
Let him
know. Hold up. If we get JD, you going to ask him if he was like
that. That was a surprise. You can't tell.
Spilling the beans, man.
Oh, my bad. That really was a mistake.
Talking about hitting the DJ booth,
I don't think they heard that, but.
That was an actual
mistake. We'll save that.
Before we do the PSA, though, Nate, what the people need to do.
Yeah.
You know, so what the people need to do, I actually did this past weekend. I checked out Barbershop The Next Cut. Go check it out. Like,
nice.
I know a lot of people might think it's just a money grab, just, you know,
is it
a
good,
laugh
TD?
Time.
Is
it's
it
a good movie. And it has real conversations. It's you know, relevant conversations.
Thought-provoking.
Exactly.
That type of stuff.
It's written really well. It's still funny. They still bring every conversation back to a laugh.
Yeah.
But they also have every angle of the conversation. And it's really, really well done. Not a lot of people talking about it. We need to go out. We need to show some support because we need more stuff like that.
So check it out.
That's
dope, man, because I took my kids to go see that Captain America.
Civil War. Yeah.
It was terrible.
Was it terrible?
Terrible.
Like Charles Barkley, terrible.
Terrible. But we can get into that another time. Man, dude, I'm ready to do a mic drop on that one. That was terrible, dude.
Really?
I wanted a refund. I gave my popcorn back, and I went home.
Wait, stop, Mike. I got it. See, you're my man, but I got to jump in here, though.
What?
So it might not be for your liking. Did your kids like it, though?
No.
They didn't like it?
It wasn't enough action, TD. The other ones was way more action. Don't get me wrong.
Listen.
For the fans of that of Captain America,
which I'm one of them.
They did a lot of explaining. They did a lot of you know stuff that. But for me, dude, I still need some action,
Mike,
man.
See, I was gonna move on, but now that TD jumped,
I had to do it.
I gotta give my opinion. I thought the movie was solid.
Oh no! Where was the action?
I just thought it was too early.
It was a love story.
I thought it was too early to debate with you, but if we're gonna get into it,
I'm just saying, though,
bro, that fight scene with Iron Man and Captain America, was action.
It was dope.
Ant-Man got busy at the airport.
First of all, I ain't never seen Ant-Man before.
You should have saw the Ant-Man movie.
But that's
you
what
gotta
I'm
get.
Saying, dog. Right. I don't know. I just think they reached.
All these movies are connected, bro.
I feel you.
And
but
the Black Panther.
Oh, we gotta give a shout out to Black Panther.
Man, Jackie Robinson.
Chadwick Boseman, man.
He got busy.
Speaking of.
He did.
He's getting his own movie, and that's going to be directed by a man, Ryan Coogler, who got on the show.
We
got to
get in it, Nate.
Man.
Nate, we got to holler at
him. Wait. He's doing Black Panther?
He's directing Black Panther.
We got to get in it, bro.
He's got Michael B. Jordan in that movie, too.
Dog, we got to get in it, Nate.
Man, I got to be a...
Yeah.
Just give me a... Just have me selling character. Some newspapers or something.
Nah, I want to be an actual...
I know, man, but they might not do that.
Here's the word, though. Marvel says that 90% of the cast is going to be African and African-American because it's going to be – it's from a – he's a king of an African
country. They're telling his story.
Exactly.
TD, you got to set it up, bro.
Let's make it happen. Hey, I want to be in on this, too.
I'm going to text Ryan Coogler.
Let's make it happen. Now.
Well, first of all, I don't think y'all noticed what I said earlier. I didn't know what y'all was talking about. And when you said Black Panther, I said, yeah, just have me somewhere selling newspapers. And y'all didn't even catch that, right? I thought y'all was talking about, like,
real Black Panther.
Black Panther. Y'all didn't catch that.
I was like, why would he want to be selling some newspapers? Yeah,
but
Marvel.
I didn't catch it at first. Now, hold up. Okay. Let's get to the PSA.
You talking about Black Panther.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was talking about.
All right. Yeah, let's get that PSA.
Oh, man, please make sure you subscribe, comment on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all that.
Yeah.
We need you guys' support. Leave a comment. We're trying to turn this into a show.
Yeah.
I've been at our management, dog.
We've been sick.
This is the only show out here that has a different kind of lane. And let's be honest. It's more younger, more hip, more urban.
Yeah.
And we're trying to keep that going, you know? We're trying to keep that going in the NFL because it helps our show. It helps our audience. And it helps our
audience get younger, man.
Right.
Exactly.
Can't have our audience, you know, continuing to get like us. Get older, man.
Yeah, you're right. Nah, that's real.
We're young, but we're getting older.
Yeah, I
know that, Nate.
Yeah, I feel you. Hey, well, TD, I know you got a beat for me, man. Let me see what you got. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Hey. Man, if my voice wasn't raspy, you hear this?
Yeah, dog. I'm trying to figure out who
like meth, sound like meth and red on this.
Oh.
A little East Coast.
Dr. Spock.
Oh, this is cold right here. Boom.
I see Nate's feeling it, man. No, you can't do that, Nate. You
don't
just
mess
got
up
back.
Your voice, Nate.
You just came back, Nate.
Mess up your voice, Nate.
Man.
You know what I mean? You being some anesthesia again, you better chill out.
We back.
Better chill out.
We went back at R and B. Hey, this is fun. Ooh. How many times they gonna switch the beat up? That's like some Kanye stuff right there. All right, Mike, what have you been up to, bro?
Man, look, let
me go first because I haven't really been doing much.
Hold up, did y'all just see how this man?
I haven't been doing much, and you have a lot of stuff that
you've been doing.
Now, I want you to have the most time. All I've been doing is working out. I figure I had time off, so I've been doing CrossFit like crazy. So
you
back
like
on platform lifting. Yeah, just because I do a lot of squats and, you know, clean stuff that we used to do when we played. Get my hops back. I put on my IG. I jump like 60-inch box jump.
Do you catch the jugs machine and stuff too? You catching punts again?
Nah, I should though. I thought about making a comeback.
I
was working out and I was like, man, I'm nice right now.
Somebody pick you up for eight games.
I'm healthy.
You make 400 racks.
But my bones are fragile.
I know.
I'm lactose intolerant, so I don't drink a lot of milk.
You can supplement it, though, Nate.
Yeah, but I got metal in my body. I won't last. I'll get broken up, man. Cam Chancellor hit me. It's a wrap.
Don't get hit by Cam.
I'm too old to get hit like that. I'm walking off the field. Hey, Coach, deuces.
Get hit by Cam.
I might sprain an ankle and walk off. Like, I'm going to retire again off a sprained ankle. But I haven't been doing much. I've been chilling, spending a lot of time with the family and the kids at the crib. But that's about it, man. Just waiting to get back to work, hungry to talk again. So
I missed you, bro.
What about you, bro?
You've been working your butt off.
You
were supposed to be at the camp this week.
Yeah, I missed
this weekend, man. This past week.
How was that? Who was there?
Marshawn Lynch, Beast Mode, my brother. Richard Sherman, my brother. Robert Turbin, my brother. Frank Gore, my brother. Both of those guys play for Indy. Byron Maxwell, Miami. Andre Branch, DN in Miami. He went to my high school. Maurice Kennedy, 6th-round pick for Baltimore. He participated in my camp 5 years ago. I mean, you know,
what? He's
come full circle now. He's come back as a trainer. You know what I mean? Who else? We have Chris Baker, Washington Redskins. Tyrod Taylor was on the way, but he had a photo shoot. He couldn't get away from.
Right.
I hope I'm not missing anybody, man. Vernon Davis came down for a little bit, man.
Wow.
We just had a star-studded event, man. We had a dinner on Friday night. Marshawn said a speech.
What?
He got up. I mean, he cursed every other word, right? But it was all good because that's what they came for.
The kids was there?
I mean, it wasn't any kids. So this is what happened, man. Okay. We had the hotel.
Okay.
Okay. A good friend of mine owns the hotel or whatever, one of my investment buddies. And everybody who paid a ticket to be there bought a dinner and a room and a rooftop bar for a party. So the whole hotel was ours.
Wow.
So as we did the dinner downstairs, boom, everybody went upstairs. We had a great time and had a great camp the very next day. Our network came out, showed love, covered everybody. Kids got on TV. My kids said they saw themselves on TV last night.
Up.
You know what I mean? All from my foundation, Excel to Excellence. I'm trying to change education in America, bro.
Like, that's awesome.
Like, that's what wakes me up in the morning, you know, other than talking about football,
right?
You know what I mean? But that's what wakes me up in the morning, man. But you know, to put on an event like that, bro. So here, this is what happened. It rained all day Saturday, and I started thinking, like, on Thursday maybe we should change the venue to indoors.
Yeah,
but we did it indoors, dude. And first of all, it was awesome. Thanks Sports Reality for helping us put it on. But when you plan something that's originally for outside and almost 800 kids, and now it's indoors.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
no
yeah.
spectators. You can only fit about 500 kids.
Oh.
It's like planning a whole nother event, man.
Right.
I mean, it really is, bro. So doing that, planning that, and working, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, working here. Like, really, really working. Like, I'm breaking down some back. I'm breaking down all the backs from last year right now. All my short yardage backs right now at home. So doing stuff like that, dog.
Right.
Stand, you know.
Sharpening the tool.
Making sure it's sharp, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I can dig that, man. I can dig that.
But what about during the when you was in the league, man? What would you be doing right now?
Off season.
You was in the league in the off season. Other than football, I know you'll be in there.
You're talking about the moments right before you get into OTAs.
Yes.
What would I be doing?
Yeah.
I usually plan one big family vacation, so that's the first priority. You gotta let wife know and the kids know. Hey, you're gonna be the first ones to enjoy this off season with me. So we'll go. We love the Caribbean, so we used to go to Turks and Caicos. We would hit an island in Hawaii. We try to get out of our, you know, usual location.
You brought the kids too?
Yeah.
See, that's that wide receiver money, man.
Cali. We would get out of that circle because, you know, we used to travel there all the time. And then after that, you know, I would work out occasionally, but it was more like healing. So you do like the Pilates and the yoga and just that light kind of beach body workout because you're still healing up from being banged up. And then I would plan a boys trip. Me, my brother, my best friend, we'd all get together and we'd pick a location. We sit around one night eating dinner and drinking, and everybody would throw their location in the hat. And it was always Miami, Vegas, Cali, and Vancouver. And Vancouver always won. Vancouver's one of the best places on earth, man. It's like our Vegas. So it was right by Seattle, so we just drive up, and we knew everybody up there. it's a great time. So that was like my routine. So if I knocked all those things down, by the time OTA started, it was a full off season for me. I was ready to go back.
But see, that's dope, Nate, man, because mine was similar. You know, I would take the first month, not completely off, but just do, like you said, Pilates, yoga, that type of stuff. But young guys need to have a plan, though.
Right.
Instead of just saying, oh, it's the off season. Oh, I'm just going to wake up. Oh, let me go to Miami.
Ooh.
And just go buy the ticket right then and there and just go. And then just go pay for the hotel and do all that. I wake up. Hey, I want to go to Aruba. Let me just go.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's when you get into trouble. That's when you lose, to me, that's when you lose focus on football. That's when you lose focus on what the ultimate goal is. When you plan it out, you can say, okay, I've had my fun.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now it's time to get to work because there is a point of the offseason. Yeah, it's not as serious as during the season, but there's a point in the offseason where you got to say, okay, I have to get better from last year.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? Right. And it's going to take blood, sweat, and tears. It's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take me really, really going after it, probably paying a facility somewhere to go and do my thing, getting my own personal coach.
Right.
You know what I mean? But what happens is, man, a lot of these young cats, they so used to everything being provided for them, man, and they don't think like, dude, look, I have to get better from last year.
Yeah.
Just me knowing the play, and I'm talking about young guys, like rookies going into their second year.
For sure.
You have to get better, man, because, like, you're investing into your body. You're investing into your future, and I'm glad you talked about having that structure.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of guys have.
And you bring up a valid question. It's how do you get better in the offseason? So, for me, you mentioned it. You said, you know, you got to pay a facility. You know, when you first get in the league, that's what we did, or that's what our agents did. You remember when you got ready for the combine?
Yep.
I was out in Arizona working at API, and you wake up in the morning. They provide a meal. You go bust your ass for 2 hours. Then they provide lunch. You go home, take a nap. Then you come back, bust your ass for another 2 hours, and then they provide dinner. So I did this getting ready for the combine. I'm thinking to myself, man, this
went
is
back
incredible.
And did it.
And I felt like I was in the best shape ever. So when I got in the league, I didn't really want to pay them out of my own pocket, you know, $5,000 you know, every week and a half or whatever it was, because I thought to myself, I can do this on my own. But it's a lot harder to walk into a LA Fitness and prepare yourself for a season. So that's what I would do, bro. I would go to API. Sometimes it was 2 weeks at a time. Sometimes it was a month at a time.
Yep.
And I would go. I would fly to Arizona, put myself up, and I would kind of remove myself. This is right before I got to OTAs. Mm-hmm. Remove myself from the circle of just relaxing in the casual workouts. And I loved it because, one, I was back in that mindset of making myself believe, man, I got to make this team. Even though I knew I didn't, I'm like, man, I got to make this team. I got to impress my teammates. I got to impress this organization. I got to come back bigger, faster, stronger. And on top of all that, there was always young guys there. There was always young cornerbacks and young receivers. So that was my way of testing myself. So when I showed up to API in offseason and I'm looking at this young dude who's about to get drafted, or I'm looking at this young rookie who I saw last year, or a cornerback who I played against, now every day I'm working out kind of measuring myself against these dudes. Oh, I still got more hops than him. Oh, I can outrun him. We go do drills, and I'm winning in these drills. Okay, cool. I still got the juice. So that was my confidence. And then I walk into the organization, whether it was Minnesota, Seattle, or Detroit, and my head was high because I was just killing these young boys who was supposed to be the next generation. And I'm 28, 29, 30 years old. So that was my way of kind of understanding where I was and how I was supposed to level myself against the competition.
Was the API?
I was at API.
See,
Arizona.
I went to Brett Fisher, who Fisher Sports
Fisher
is
right
Sports. Out there
Incredible.
In Arizona.
Incredible.
Miles Jack just left his facility. Yeah. That's who he worked with.
It's one of the most popular facilities.
Yeah, man. And basically, I started working out on my own, after my rookie year, right? And I had to go to his facility just for rehab.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Donovan McNabb in there. I remember seeing Brian Dawkins in there. I remember seeing Big Leonard Davis in there. I remember seeing my boy Big Sean Smith, a D tackle in there. I mean, they just getting a couple other young guys just getting it. I'm like, man. And then they started calling me out because I'm on the table getting my rehab. And, you know, McNabb, like, dude, you know, he remember me playing quarterback at Penn State. He's like, bro, why you not here working out? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm doing my own thing, this, that, and the third. He's like, where? You know, I was at some type of fitness club. But he said, so you actually saying you doing better than what we doing up in here? Get better, bro. So he kept challenging me. So I think I went there for 2 months. And every month I went in there for my rehab, every single day they cracked jokes. They got in me, all of that, to the point where, I mean, Brett was in there laughing. He'd be doing my rehab laughing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Brett, what's so funny, dog? I mean, he's like, man, they're right.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I got to get in here. And when I first got in there, bro, first of all, Donovan McNabb was one of the strongest dudes I ever seen in my life.
Ox, man. He's
okay. He used to have like the 180-pound dumbbells doing. I'm like, man, this is a quarterback, man. He's crazy. A tank.
Crazy.
So off tops, Brett put me with him and made me challenge myself more. So as I went there through the years, you started seeing guys like Darrell Revis come through there, man. To see Darrell Revis work, my guy Will Sullivan, he's kind of like our, skill position coach that's out there. To see him and Darrell Revis work, to see the classroom work they put in. I mean, Reeve literally looks at every number one receiver. When I say spends time, spends like 3 days on each one.
Yeah.
I mean, then after they watch the film, they go out to the field and run the routes that they just finished watching. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We would get that type of teaching, man. And like I said, you may feel like you're paying for a little too much at first.
Right.
But then when you see the results, you see how you come into OTAs and you just doing your thing. And, you know, your position coach is like, ooh, you look good. You know what I'm saying? To get those compliments, man.
Yeah. And it's
crazy. The world,
it's crazy because I think some young guys, they feel like, oh, I've been doing this my whole life, so I can come back to OTAs and pick up where I left off. And I think one offseason I did do that. I didn't pay for that extra training. And I got back, and it took me a little while to get my footwork exactly how I wanted it. It took me a little while to get my strength to where I needed it. And I thought to myself, I never want to start behind the eight ball when I'm showing up for OTAs. Because the last thing I want is the coaching staff to be like, yeah, Nate's still nice, but, I mean, he looked like he's a little rusty.
Let me ask you a question, Nate, because you're a little guy. Not little like as in little, but you're a smaller, you know.
Hey, man, I should have called
him. My bad. Yo, did you ever worry about, like nutrition? I had to, because I had to like make sure I regenerated. I had to make sure I didn't get too big. I didn't make sure I had to keep on my weight when I played fullback. Had to make sure I was explosive at certain times. Cause people don't realize that I knew I knew exactly what my body felt like, had to feel like on game day. I had to be 246 pounds. I knew exactly what I had to be on game day.
Wow.
To feel right. That's, I knew exactly when I had to eat, the exact times I had to eat, all of that.
Really?
Yeah, man. So. Wow. But that's because I was a guy that, I mean, I fluctuated between 15 pounds my entire career. So is there anything special from a nutrition standpoint? Because a lot of the little guys I know, they eat McDonald's before games. They eat whatever.
I wouldn't eat, you know, McDonald's before a game. But, you know, I wouldn't eat, you know, tremendously well either. I would just have a diet plan that was based off of my knowledge or lack thereof of the food groups. And I never found out what I was tolerant to or intolerant to. And that kind of leads me into something else I did when I was off this past month, is I went and met with your doctor, Dr. J.
You talked to Dr. J, huh?
I didn't talk to Dr. J.
Met with him.
I met with him. They took my urine.
All of that.
They pulled blood.
It's called my guy.
The Alcat test, I think.
Yes. Yep, that's my guy. You got your allergy test.
I walked in there and about a week ago, and they showed me every single food that my body has a tolerant C4 and doesn't have a tolerance C4.
So. And all your favorite foods, you were allergic to.
Listen, I'm not saying this just because I'm black, but chicken was on there. And
of course.
I'm like, how can I be allergic to chicken? I love chicken, bro.
With Doc J.
And beef.
Yeah.
But you know, I wasn't allergic to pork, so I love bacon.
What he taught me, bro, like I still use today. I don't live in Arizona anymore, so I don't go to him all the time, but I actually still call him. And like, you're supposed to, like, change up what you eat, like, every 6 weeks.
Right.
Totally change.
Right, because you know,
Becomes tolerant to it.
Right, and it doesn't process and digest and filter out the toxins versus the nutrition. So I'm talking to this guy, and I'm like, I'm in awe because I'm learning all this stuff about my body. And I literally said this to him. I said, man, this is crazy.
Did you get ozone?
I did. Yeah, I did all that.
Welcome.
I felt amazing.
Welcome.
I felt amazing. Now listen. So after I got done with this whole treatment, where they pull blood and then they oxygenated it and then they put it back in, and I'm feeling just lively, and then I'm changing my diet subtly, and then I go do CrossFit, and I'm feeling like a monster, and I'm 34 years old. And I was talking to him when I went back in. I said, you know, this is crazy, because if I would have incorporated this into my career,
you'd still be playing.
I'd still be playing. How crazy is that, Mike? Now, and I'm saying this realistically, because, you know, towards the end of my career, it wasn't that I couldn't play. Like, my last season with Detroit, I gave him 40 catches with, you know, 8 games missed from a broken arm. So it wasn't that I walked away thinking I couldn't play. It's just that my body wasn't responding the same. So
yeah.
It took me longer to recover from a game. It took me longer to get myself up for a practice. I would have to, you know, take a Tylenol and a Red Bull just to get through practice.
And you know what?
And I'm looking at this nutrition plan. I'm like, well, if I would have had this,
you would have been recovering way faster.
I needed all the extra stuff.
And that's what I'm telling you, and I know this for a fact. My brother Marshawn, man, that's what started to happen to him toward the end of the career, toward the end of his career.
All them Skittles.
You know, he got intolerant to it. But he wasn't recovering the same way.
Right. Right.
It wasn't that Sundays he just, you know, Sundays he was fine.
Right.
But during the week, and people got to understand, to play our game, you need reps. It's,
right.
You can't just go out there, you know, everybody in right. Brett Favre, that's what makes him first ballot.
Right.
And, right. You know what I mean? But you need reps. And as a runner, it's a field thing. And Marshawn's a zone runner too. So
yeah.
So that's even more of a field thing. And if you don't get the reps, you're not going to look the same on Sunday. And what happened was, it was hard to practice because of the physical punishment my dude would take on Sundays. And I tell him all the time, he laughs. But I still think he's going to get bored in October, because at some point, and it happened to me my first year out, all your homies, all the homies you've just known for the last 10 years, they're playing. They're working.
They're all busy.
They're in meetings.
What you doing this weekend? I got a game.
I got a game, dog. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. They're in meetings. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. Like, got a lot. He has a lot going on. But
he got a lot of money, too. A
lot of money.
So, you know, money cures.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I tell him all the time. I'm his biggest fan, bro. And I tell him, dude, this game – doesn't miss a lot of athletes, guys like Megatron, guys like Beast Mode. This game is going to miss him, because like I said on TV yesterday,
yeah,
some guys in this league, the entire opposing team stands up and watches them work, because it's just like.
Yeah, and that's how it was when it was, you know, with Calvin. Calvin was a guy who took care of his body and had a specific diet and went to sleep at a certain time. And, you know, he had this tea that – you know, was, you know, inducive to, you know, him sleeping better, that he would take every night.
And I need that.
I'm talking to him like, yo, man, this is amazing. You know, and speaking of Calvin, I talked to him last week. He was out here. He was
get him on
LA.
The show, bro.
He was in L.A. kicking it. You know, he did his little boys trip.
Come on, Nate. You got to get Calvin on the show.
I wasn't
get
here.
Calvin on the show.
I'll get him on the show.
You was going to get Johnny. You said you was – I'm just saying, Nate.
You know, Johnny's off the grid, bro. I don't know, what's going on.
You but, probably need to stay off the grid.
I need to get Johnny or Josh Gordon or even Calvin on the show. But, you know, it's crazy, though, man, Mike. To answer your question, you know, bring it all full circle. When I played, I didn't think about creatine or supplements, but I wish I would have gave it more thought, because, you know, athletes say it all the time, you know, we're well-oiled machines. It's like having a vehicle, and if you drive in a Ferrari and you put the wrong stuff in it, you put, you know, bad gasoline and, you know, oil that doesn't match the vehicle, and you don't take care of the brake pads, you know, your car's going to break down eventually. You know, that's just the name of the game. That's why you have to pay homage to guys that do it on the level of a Charles Woodson, because he hopped in that car when he was 21 and then played till he was 41, which is absolutely amazing. So that's crazy. But
man,
TD,
you know what? Yeah, let's talk about corner.
No.
TD got a beat.
TD always got a beat, bro.
Yeah, come on, TD.
Okay. All right. Ooh, this got a little West Coast flavor to it. This is like some Dre would rap to.
I know, right?
Early 2000s.
I just sound like
a DRE in it there, a little.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Come on, let's talk corners, man. What you got? What you got? Who's the best in the league right now?
The best.
It's a lot. It's, to me, it's about your flavor. It's all of what you like.
It is about flavor. It's, you know, it's a lot different than years past where there was only a couple guys.
Before we get into that, though, can we talk about the best guys you played with or against? Man, and what made them great?
The best guys I played with, I would have to start off and say Antoine Winfield. He was a cornerback.
Twan was that dude. Hey, I played with him in Seattle for a little bit.
He was older than, but still balling.
And I remember playing against Twan. He beat a nickelback for right? the Vikings, right? And I would have him and he would bang you.
Dang. And he was little.
Oh, I didn't think you was going to say that. Hey, Twan will bang you,
crazy?
Dog.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Antoine was about probably around 5'8", you would say, 5'9", maybe.
Man, give him that.
And he's probably around 85.
He hit like he 250 pounds.
Listen, I seen him at cornerback, short end of the field, right? He's on the outside. They're pulling towards him. They pull a guard, pitch the ball to running back. I'm on the sideline. I don't even know why, because I usually didn't pay attention to defense, but I used to love watching him play because he went hard every play. So this particular play, I'll never forget. It's like ingrained in my memory. He's sitting there. He reads the play. He was intelligent, so he knew what was coming. He shoot. So automatically, right out the gate, he beats the receiver. So I'm like, that's impressive. Second thing that was impressive about the play, he sees the guard pulling. He doesn't avoid him. Most corners would avoid him. You know, let's avoid him. I'm going to show effort, but I'm not really going to get by the play because I don't want to get banged. He submarines, chops the guard down, goes – now the guard is on top of him. He kind of bear crawls, takes a few steps on his knees, and then wraps up the running back in the backfield for a tackle.
That's the corner.
It was one of the most amazing plays that I've seen. And Twan didn't jump the highest. He wasn't the fastest. But as far as intelligence, effort, and playing the game the way it's supposed to be played, Antoine Winfield was one of the best cornerbacks I ever played with.
Well, I mean, obviously, my guy's still playing, Richard Sherman, man.
Yeah.
To see this guy work in practice and then to see him. And I told him this past weekend because he used to sit in the very first row in 2011, his rookie year. Very first row, I sat in the second. You know what I mean? I was in year six or something like that by then. And this guy asked every question.
Really?
I mean, and it wasn't just about football. I mean, he's talking about life. I mean, you know, when should I say this? When should I do this? When should I do that? And people don't realize if it wasn't for Marcus Trufant sustaining an injury, we may have had to wait on the Sherman train.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
True was a legend.
True was a legend.
I played with True.
But also Walter Thurman got hurt too.
Mm.
And then Sherm got on. And I remember with him first getting on, and he was just telling me, like, Mike, I'm different, right? And what I started to see with him was he's not just a disruptor. He's not just a swatter. And there's a lot of those guys out here. Like, they're swatters. You know, they get to the ball, boom. Oh, I got a PBU. It's all good. You see what I'm saying? You may catch some on Sherm. He may be not – he's not the flightest, the fleetest of foot. You see what I'm saying? You may catch every now and again on him. He does get bored. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he changes possession with the ball. Right. He takes it up off of you.
Okay, before I ask you if he's the best in the game, in your opinion, I need to ask you this. What do you say to those who have the argument that Richard Sherman is the ultimate system cornerback? That because for so long he didn't travel and he doesn't get a ton
travel
of interceptions.
He travels.
Right, that's why I said for a long time he didn't travel. He doesn't get a ton of interceptions. He's a PBU guy. What do you say to those people that have that argument?
I mean, you can't get mad at, I don't know, tell me somebody rich. Tell me somebody super rich. Give me a name.
Dr. Dre? Diddy?
Can't get mad at
Paul Allen?
Can't get mad at Paul Allen's kids because they with the last name they were born with.
Right.
You can't get mad at this man because
of the system,
system he came into. What are you supposed to say? Hey, stop doing what's making us successful and getting us the Super Bowls, and let me play man so I can show everybody I'm the best corner in this league.
Similar to people who were mad at Wes Welker when he was catching all them balls.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a system receiver, you know, but he still was torching the league.
He was torching the league, but here's my thing, and even more with Wes Welker, look at you, look who your quarterback was.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? Tom, like, literally would go to him in certain things. But going back to Sherm, I can't get – I can't get mad at him for that's the way that that's what they play. Now, when they ask him to do certain other stuff, he travels with the receiver and he does his thing. He plays the nickel when he has to. He plays the slot when he has to.
I agree.
And he does his thing.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I know.
People ask me, and I'm
now,
a receiver.
Now, you know, the coldest,
guy who played with him, I wanted to know what you
the
said.
The coldest dude I played against, I mean Patrick Peterson.
Wait.
I'm telling you, bro.
You
got
to answer. Okay.
I'm
glad you said that.
And I'm going to tell you why.
I'm glad you said the coldest guy you played against is Patrick Peterson, because I need to know, after you tell me why, who's the best between the two. But why is Patrick?
Well, look, first of all, that's not a fair question.
Well, it is a fair question,
I won a
question,
Super Bowl
Mike.
With Sherman. This man was just at my camp. This is my guy.
It's a fair question.
Saying?
Like,
so,
what do you mean?
And I've seen him work. But I've seen him work at practice. I haven't seen Patrick Peterson work at practice.
Okay, whoop-de-whoop-de-womp. Answer the question.
So, look, I'm asking your first question. Good job, Nate. the reason, to me, what makes Patrick so scary, man, and I go back to his rookie year, dude, it was more than just – his ability to follow number one receiver everywhere. He's always around the ball. I don't know if he's the playmaker that Sherm is as far as actually tracking the ball. I think Tyrann Mathieu's more in that same category as far as tracking the ball.
Mathieu's
right?
Yeah.
But, dude, when we kick this dude the ball on punt return, and I was on punt, my heart's beating out my shoulder pads, dog.
Yeah.
I don't want him to catch it. I'm hoping I see that arm go up.
Yeah, he's a freak.
And he never did it. You see what I'm saying? He never put the arm up for fair catch. I'm hoping, like, bro, please fair catch it. Then when he catch it, you don't know whether to keep running toward him or whether to
because he can,
break down.
He used to reverse.
He'll run around you.
Crazy.
He'll run through you. He beat the at that time it was the St. Louis Rams, but it's the Los Angeles Rams. He beat them by himself in an overtime game his rookie year.
Listen, let me tell you. We played against the Arizona Cardinals when I was with the Detroit Lions, and they put Patrick Peterson in the game. On offense. So I'm like, yo, what is going on? I get up off my seat. I'm on the sideline. Like, I got to see this. I want to see if he runs around. I don't know what he's going to do. He's on the right side. They put him in motion. So automatically you're thinking, oh, it's reversed. They're going to hand the ball off. Carson Palmer gets the ball. He turns around. I don't know if it's Carson Palmer or Drew Stanton, but so they flip him the ball. Everybody's yelling reverse. Reverse. He's hauling, getting it, trying to turn the corner. So now he's on the left side of the field. And it's the wide side. So I'm like, yo, somebody need to track him. We kind of got him covered, but it looks like he got the angle. He stops, turns around, reverse pivot.
Throws it.
Comes back the other way.
That was the one.
Now he's running the other direction, back where he started. I'm like, yo, this dude did a double reverse by himself. Looks up, hits a receiver running a corner route on a dime, on the sideline. I'm like, this is the craziest play I've ever seen. How could this dude – get the ball, run two reverses, pick his chin up, and hit a guy on the dime. I'm going to talk about athleticism.
Total athlete.
Ridiculous.
Total athlete right there. Hey, TD, we got enough time for or not?
We don't have enough time for or not because our special guest did get confirmed. He's coming up soon, so we're going to push or not to next week, but we're going to have So-So Def's own Jermaine Dupri on the show later on in a few minutes, actually. So, yeah, Jermaine Dupri is going to be joining us on Skype. I mean, if you don't know Jermaine Dupri, I mean, you need to go back, dig back in the 90s, early 2000s. So
right.
Def
so,
one.
So
Rat, Def. Bow Wow, who we've had on the show before as well. I mean.
Man.
I want to know what the Brat doing. You know what I'm saying? I want to know what the Brat doing. JD.
Escape. All that stuff. So, I mean, so yeah, we're going to have Jermaine Dupri on the show to talk about everything. So,
the Mac Daddy make you jump.
That's right.
We not mentioning the fact that he was dating Janet Jackson.
Oh, yeah. No.
Like,
I know, dog.
His resume. His resume.
I know, dog.
His resume.
My only thing is they look to be the same height, man.
Oh,
and she, I know she like 4'5 or something like that, isn't she?
He 5'4.
Huh? Is he?
Yeah, he 5'4.
Then why they look the same height, bro? You mean to tell me she got a foot?
She put the heels on. She put the
come on, dog.
She put the heels on.
12 inches?
Yeah, well, you know,
whatever, man.
I got a quick on offer, y'all, before JD jumps in here. This wasn't the original one. I just threw this in. Ad lib right here. Y'all going to check my NBA podcast or not? What's up?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check it out.
Everybody.
And I'm not the biggest NBA guy, but especially now during the playoffs, I am.
Oh, I love the NBA. Love the NBA.
Why you ain't played in, Nate?
Man, I thought I was going to play,
you
man.
You work for NFL Network.
I turned down
basketball, NFL Network. I'm
basketball offers to go to college and play football.
Well,
man.
You did the right thing.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? So don't be acting like you want to be an NBA baller.
NBA
you know what I'm
baller?
Saying? Don't be acting like that.
I love the NBA. I could talk NBA all day long. But speaking of that, though, real quick, Mike, who you got in the finals?
We don't even know the finals right now, right?
The finals, but I think the finals are going to be
looking shaky, baby.
OKC and Cleveland.
2 weeks ago, it was hands down Golden State Warriors versus the Cleveland Cavaliers.
OKC and Cleveland.
Oh,
let me tell you, I like the Golden State to win it, but my eyes, my common sense, tells me they got matchup issues all around the board. They just too many matchup issues. They just can't do it. And then it just seemed like Golden State gets to a point where in the game where all of them shooting threes.
Everybody.
Nobody's even in the hole for the rebound, bro.
I swear I saw Coach Kerr shoot a three.
Yeah, they passed it to Coach Kerr. He was spotting up. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody shoot
like
threes.
Jordan passed it to him again. Anyway, don't we got to beat or something before JD hop on?
Got, man, I know you got something, TD.
My bad, fellas.
Come on.
My bad, fellas.
Get in the damn DJ booth.
So this is what happens, right, in a podcast game. Yeah. Sometimes we tape things out of order, time-wise, and, you know, guests that we have set up that were confirmed end up not being confirmed anymore.
Right.
Because sometimes the superstars, you know, the moguls.
Yeah.
So,
listen, man, it's no need to apologize.
Yeah, JD dipped on us today.
We had So Def, hip hop legend JD on deck. You know, our peoples know his peoples. And this is Hollywood, bro. You know, people are busy, and it's hard to get them exactly when you need to get them.
Well, Look, y'all can say all that politically correct stuff. I ain't letting them off the hook. When he come on next week, I'm going to let him know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What's up, bro? This R&B,
dog.
Oh,
yeah, we don't let cats slide.
Come on,
I'm
man.
I'm saying, we understand how cats get busy. What I can say is thank you to the people for listening and tuning
That's
in.
True. That's
and
true.
We will start rolling out these guests after guests after guests because it's that time of year.
Nate, I know you hype about Atlanta, Super Bowl being in Atlanta, bro.
Oh,
come
man.
On, Chocolate
listen,
City.
Listen, Atlanta, South Florida.
Who?
L.A.
In L.A.?
I'm just.
We get to go to all of them.
Oh, for free. No. You know, hold up. I'm going to say this right now. So this is the first bit of exclusive information I'm going to drop, and we doing this all together. This is my team.
Okay.
We are going to do every Super Bowl R&B party. We'll film our podcast on location, wherever we do it, because we're gonna stick to the script. But that night, the day we film our podcast, whether it's that Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever it is,
we'll throw a party.
We'll throw a party.
Exclusive party.
You know how Kenny Smith does his NBA All-Star every year?
You don't tell me
somebody's gonna give us a venue? We got my man
that drops
his beats.
Let's get it.
We got Houston next year, so I want it.
I can't even tell the stories about it. My wife's listening. Love you, baby.
I'm going to rip that up. Houston, we coming with the official R&B Super Bowl party. How fire does that sound?
Yo, it's gonna be
and then
fire,
we going to get an R&B artist. Or we'll get an artist. We're going to get, man, it's going to be the most popping party.
Hey, period. Nate, you got the wheels turning now, bro.
You feel
I'm in
me?
There with you,
we can
bro.
Do that, though.
Yeah, I'm in and there with
the,
you, bro.
We got the ultimate promotion. Hey, yo, come to the location. We tell them the venue. We in there. We got it.
Let's get it, man. Let's get it, dog.
That's it. Hey, TD, you with it, right?
All day, baby. All day.
No TD with it. TD's going to be trying to DJ. Just don't hit the DJ. Just don't let the song keep replaying TD.
Yeah, we with
Come
it.
On, man.
Hey, so make sure our guests don't cancel on us, too.
Hey, oh, yeah.
Listen, this is the R&B podcast, man. We appreciate you guys listening. Anything you want to say to the people, Mike?
Oh, man, it's much love, man. Keep supporting us.
Yeah.
We are two of the hardest working men in this business,
yeah.
And we're the future of this business. Keep supporting us. We appreciate you guys.
Yeah, and on top of that, you got to check out my man TD NBA podcast, which I'm going to be on because I lightweight know more about the NBA than I do actual NBA.
I'm going to come on and just talk trash. Hey, I'm just
– Hype it up.
Just talk whatever.
What people don't know about my man TD behind the window is he knows every sport, every genre of music. So you gotta tune into his podcast, man. We are gonna start getting all content on
y'all.
Top of content, and it's gonna be incredible for the future and what we got in store for you guys.
Check it out on iTunes, Make It Take It podcast.
There it is, man. Well, that's it for this week's R&B podcast, man. Please remember subscribe on iTunes, comment, retweet, spread the word. all that, Nate. Hey,
TD, I love that make it take it.
Hey, man.
You remember when you used to play make it take it and you didn't get the ball back because you was playing against your older brother?
Crazy. I always got the ball back, whether I just fouled him like crazy. Got the ball back. The Welcome RB back, Nate.
I appreciate that. Hey, you clean up well, too.
Hey, man.
Hey, and you're well-spoken for a black guy.